This is Thursday, April 21st, Movements of the Mind.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. For the people that have been absent for a long time and for the new people, I have started this introduction a year or so ago with the idea that it would finally sink into your consciousness and that you would realize that you are gods and goddesses. This teaching is about that. It's about becoming God. You cannot become anything but God. You cannot make this statement, there is nothing but God, and then not be part of that. You're saying God is all there is. You hear that all the time. You can go to any brand name church and hear that God is all there is. But then they look at you and think you're chopped liver. You have to know that you are part of God, that you are God, that you are God in the making, and let that sink into your consciousness. When you come to that realization, your whole life is going to change because you're going to start to see things differently. We see with our mind, not with our eyes. So if you don't think that you're God and you don't think that other people are God, you're going to start being a mean, nasty person. And you're also going to separate yourself from the other person. And we're not separate. That's the whole idea about judging from appearances. We are individualized expressions of God. Therefore, we do look different and all, but we are connected. Everything in the universe is connected and is interconnected. Everything influences everything. You cannot get away from that idea. And we call it a universe. Una meaning one. Unity, you say. Otherwise, we'd call it something else. But we live in a universe. So, try to convince yourself, your mind, your consciousness, that this is true. That's the choice that you have. They don't tell you, people, or the world doesn't tell you. It's always choice. You can decide to think anything that you want to think. We usually don't think anything we want to think. We think what other people are thinking. And we think what our conditioning gave to us, so that we become puppets of our conditioning. We can break that cycle and we can start to think for ourselves. But it starts with the idea that we are God. Years ago, Shirley MacLaine stood up and declared that, remember? And everyone turned their back on Shirley MacLaine because she stood up and said, I am God. You can make that statement. Now, statement that I always make is, all that I am is God. But I am not all that God is. Because you're God, everything is God. So let that sink into your consciousness. In any teaching, any religious teaching and so forth, if they're not teaching you that, they're doing you a disservice. They're doing you a disservice. Your mind, this small ego part of your mind, doesn't want you to know that. And it certainly gets very frightened when you say, if somebody stands up and says they're God, your mind, the little ego mind, immediately says, who do they think they are? How can that be true? How could they dare? They're conceited. They're this, they're that. Please, be conceited. Go ahead. I know that that's true. Okay? So with that said, Andy, would you say, my life is the life of God?
My life is the life of God.
My life is the life of God. My life is the life of God.
My life is the life of God.
My life is the life of God.
My life is the life of God. My life is the life of God.
My life is the life of God.
My life.
life is the life of God.
And my life is the life of God. There is no other life out there. There's only the life of God. And we're each moving, living, and having our being in this life of God. And we have the choice either to accept that or not to accept that. So you see, we're not puppets to God. God does not pull strings and so forth. We can be puppets to our worldly conditioning, but we cannot be puppets for God. God does not pull any strings. God allows you to be who you are. Why is that? Because God knows that you are He and you are everything, you see? It just all fits together nicely that way. Now, you don't have these, but you're going to. Many people that come to my teaching here, you know that it's metaphysics. It's also based on the principles of Ernest Holmes, which is religious science. And many people go to religious science churches. I was cleaning my closet, and I came upon the Declaration of Principles, which I hope that if you're in a church, a religious science church, you have seen the Declaration of Principles. And then again, I doubt that you have, simply because they're not going to put that out there. So I'm going to quickly go over this, and then you're going to get copies of this. This is what, if you're into religious science, you don't have to be, but if you're into religious science, this is the declaration. We believe in God, the living Spirit Almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause. This one manifests itself in and through all creation, but is not absorbed by its creation. The manifest universe is the body of God. It is the logical and necessary outcome of the infinite self-knowingness of God. We believe in the incarnation of the Spirit in man, and that all men are incarnated of the one Spirit. We believe in the eternality, the immortality, and the continuation of the individual soul forever and ever expanding. We believe that the kingdom of heaven is within man, and that we experience this kingdom to the degree that we become conscious of it. We believe the ultimate goal of life to be a complete emancipation from all discord of every nature, and that this goal is sure to be obtained by all. We believe in the unity of all life, and that the highest God and the innermost God is one God. We believe that God is personal to all who feels this indwelling presence. We believe in the direct revelation of truth through the intuitive and spiritual nature of man, and that any man may become a revealer of truth who lives in close contact with the indwelling God. We believe that the universal spirit, which is God, operates through a universal mind, which is the law of God, and that we are surrounded by this creative mind, which receives and directs impressions of our thought and acts upon it. We believe in healing through the power of this mind. We believe in the control of conditions through the power of this mind. We believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of life to all. We believe in our own soul, our own spirit, and our own destiny, for we understand that the life of man is God. The life of man is God. The life that you are living is God's life. There is no other life out there. Now, I don't know how many people, you can pass these around, Danny. Just pass them. You have to come to that realization. So you can go to any church, religious science church, and listen to wonderful lectures and wonderful things, and you get all perked up, and you hear positive thoughts there, and positive thinking and all. But all that will not do you a bit of good unless you realize that the life that you're leading is God's life. Now, we get frightened because we think, well, then what happens to my personality? What happens to me? You remain exactly the same. You'll change. You'll get rid of some of the things. But it's not going to take away your life to say that you're part, that God is operating in, as, and through you. It's not going to hurt you at all. But I think so many people, and this isn't merely my opinion on this, that all churches do not want you to know this. Otherwise, you're going to say the hell to those churches and not go anywhere. They want you to keep coming back. They don't want you to know that you are this thing that they're talking about. You have to be this thing that you're talking about. So with that said, use this and understand it. And let your mind think about that, and let your consciousness, let it seek in, so that you can, you know, you don't have to rush out in the middle of the street and scream, I'm God or anything. But sit quietly and come to that realization that there is no other realization that you can come to. You see? It's a choice. It is an absolute choice. You can believe that, or you don't have to believe it. It is not going to influence this thing called God one bit. And it's not that God doesn't care. God is that polite, he's not going to butt into your life. You see? You're the one who has to butt into your own life. You're the one who has to change your consciousness. I said many times, God can only do for you what God can do through you. That doesn't mean through your body. Well, of course, it does mean through your body. It does mean through your mind. But it means through your consciousness. The thoughts that you are holding are the thoughts that will, that God can use to work through. So if you're, which many people have, what's called a lack and limitation consciousness, and they want prosperity, and they do treatment work for prosperity, they are not going to receive prosperity because this thing called God cannot work anything through limits, lack and limitation, you see. A wonderful example was the idea of something being lost. If you say something is lost, God's not going to say, no, it's not lost. So it can only work through your consciousness, through what you're holding in your consciousness. That's why we say you must change your mind. Changing your mind means changing your consciousness. When you change your consciousness, then this power can work through it. It just matches what you're thinking. It's the idea you meet God halfway. You have to change yourself, and then God will take over. But if you hold in your mind lack and limitation, if you hold in your mind hatred and all that, it's done with attitude, people, and it's done with feelings, you see. So this whole month we were talking about the movements of the mind, and and feeling, and Andy's always interested in feeling. This is a very succinct little thing about feelings and about how this whole thing works. This one is also very good, and it'll explain to you that it's vibration, and it's done with feeling. What are you vibrating? What you vibrate will come back to you. Vibrations match each other, and we can prove that up one side and down the other with tuning forks. You see, if one tuning fork vibrates at this level, the other one will start to vibrate too, because like attracts like. This is a basic law of physics. So this whole, you know, this teaching is called, or was called, it was called many things. Religious science it was called, and then it was called science of the mind. But it's all based on scientific things. It's called scientific prayer. And what do we know when we use the word science? Science, you have to be able to prove it. Always the same. It doesn't change. You see, that's a scientist. If I do an experiment here, it has to be able to be duplicated by each and every one of you, and it has to be able to be duplicated around the world. Then it becomes science. It becomes a scientific principle. In religious science, the same principles hold. You can prove that like attracts like. You can prove that treatment work really works for you. treatment for the people that are new or don't know. Just means prayer. And when you do that, things change. And we can prove those things. So it's scientific. And that's what this teaching is. It's not, we do not ask you to believe any myths, any fairy stories that they put out there. We tell you to use this scientifically and to prove it for yourself. To prove it for yourself. And you could all do that. You can prove this teaching. You can prove that you are God, or that like attracts like, and that you're attracting things to you. This one article tells you that you're an electromagnetic being. Well, we've known that for centuries. But no one believes that. We believe it, we don't believe it. Because we go to these different places and they just soft soap the whole thing for you. I don't soft soap things, people. You know, either get it or don't get it. I don't care. You see, if you show up, you show up. I don't have a building to support. I don't have any of that stuff to do. So I just put it out there for you. And if you take it, you take it. If you don't, and I said, and I say every time, I don't tell you anything that I haven't been able to prove myself in my own life. If I can't prove it, I don't talk about it. When I'm able to prove it, then I start to talk about it. So, use this. This month was called the Movements of the Mind. It's the idea of becoming a witness to your own thinking. See what your mind is doing to you. Realize that you are not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. And you must learn to use it the same way you learn to use the computer. You see? And then your life again will change. But most of us don't do that because, again, we're puppets of conditioning. The world does not teach that. Your parents didn't teach you that unless you happen to grow up with Ernest Holmes or somebody. You know? You didn't know these things. And you just forgive yourself and you forgive them and you start to think differently about yourself. And you say, oh, I can do this. I have a mind and I can see what my mind is doing. You see? But you have to do that because the mind comes up with scenarios all the time. It's always telling you something that's not true. And you go down this road and then you discover, oh my God, I went down the wrong road. It did it to me once again. Your mind is not your friend. It will never be your friend. So stop thinking that it's your friend. You can tame it the same way you tame a wild horse. That's what you have to learn to do with your mind. So it's done with thinking. And I'm always telling you that this is a very simple teaching. It's a very simple teaching. Change your mind. Keep it changed. Learn to control your thinking. Learn that you can think the thought that you want to think and feel the feeling that you want to feel. Learn that. You've heard me say that at least 1 million times. How many people are able to do that? Because you think, oh, well, that sounds good. But then you go out into the world and the world doesn't teach that. And you hang around friends who are not of like mind and you start to be convinced by them. Do not be a majority of one. Be a majority of one and learn to think for yourself. Now, you don't have to get rid of those friends or you don't have to think that those friends are stupid or anything like that. You just say, I'm thinking differently and I'm glad I have them in my life because they certainly point out the wrong way to think. And they do. They point out the wrong way to think. And you can learn to think correctly. You see, but it said in the declaration there, all strife, struggle, and strain, didn't say that, I'm paraphrasing, is not necessary. Any kind of discord is not necessary. But we have discord in our lives all the time. We get upset about this, we get upset about that. There's no need to do any of that. This mind of God and this thing that we call God is always in complete harmony. And when it's in complete harmony, you cannot have discord. But we allow our mind to bring up all these things. And silly, little, petty things that we let the mind. We must move forward and think God's thoughts after it. You say, I said before, ask yourself, how would God handle this? How would God handle this? You know, the world teaches only two ways. It's either right or it's wrong. There's always a third way, and the third way is a God way. And you must find the God way to solve things. Because harmony must always come into the picture. So that you're not fighting and doing all the things. Look at the fights and stuff in families and relationships and all that. They can be solved instantly once you realize that you are God and that you can learn to think differently about yourself and about other people. So we start with the premise always that what? We're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. So know that you matter, not only to yourself, but to this thing called God. But this thing called God would be incomplete without you. You're very, very important. We're all important beings. And we're here on this plane of action at this particular time because we have something to offer that only we can offer. That only we can offer. So find out what that is. Find out. It doesn't have to be a grandiose thing. You do not have to become a brain surgeon to have this. Learning to love yourself is the big one. If you do nothing in this life but learn to love yourself, you will have accomplished something. And if you don't learn to love yourself in this life, when the hell do you think you're going to learn it? When do you think you're going to learn it? Life continues. I will give you that one. It's always going to continue. It's a continuum. We lose these bodies. But we're here on this plane of action with these bodies and with these particular situations and so forth to teach ourselves self-love. And the world does not want you to know that. Most institutions do not want you to know that. Because if you really loved yourself, for one thing, the economy would fall apart once more. Because you wouldn't go out and buy all the stuff that you think you need to keep yourself looking good and all this stuff. And I have to have the right lipstick and the right perfume and the right scent and this, that, and the other thing. You wouldn't need that because you would love yourself just the way you are. There's nothing wrong with any of us. There's nothing wrong with any of us. The world wants to tell you there's something wrong with you all the time. So it can sell you something to make you right. Instead of starting with the thing, I'm whole, complete, and perfect as I am. Let me alone. You know, I'm not buying your product. We don't need any of that stuff. What we're here for is the simple things. We can't take any of the material things with us. But we can take a consciousness with us throughout eternity and learn as we do that. And I think it's such a horrible thing when I see people, young, old, or whatever, go through life, and I know many people, mean and bitter, they don't like themselves, and then they make their transition, but never got it. They never got it. You have to love yourself. Why is that so important? Because when you love yourself, you love this thing called God because you are God. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love God people And everyone is trying to do that. Well, I hate myself, but boy, I love God. Oh, hallelujah. That doesn't do a bit of good. Doesn't do a bit of good. Love yourself. Start always with yourself. How am I feeling about myself? And then change it. Because even if you hated yourself and you really felt bad, and I would tell you that you're a magnificent human being, that you're an absolute miracle and all that, won't do a bit of good unless you know that for yourself. Me knowing it about you doesn't help. You knowing it about yourself is what helps. So you have to convince yourself that that's true. And you're not selling yourself a bill of goods. And your little ego mind wants to say, uh-oh, watch it here. Snake man, he's selling us some oil here. No, I'm telling you the truth. You have to love yourself in every situation, regardless of what you're doing. For the people that don't know this, you know, I swear. Only at home. Or sometimes in the car. But I never hate myself for that. And I also am working with my consciousness to change that, you see. But I don't condemn myself, and I don't dislike myself for that. It's one of those little things that I do at the present moment. Am I going to continue to do that? No. I'm going to grow out of that. Why? Because I'm growing all the time towards God. I'm growing towards God. And as you grow towards God, all that behind you falls away. It just keeps falling away. So think of that. What's your goal in life? Your goal in life is to learn to think God thoughts after it. Learning to think God thoughts after it. Learning to think magnificent, abundant, prosperous, loving thoughts all the time. All the time. So that you don't get upset with the traffic, you don't get upset with the economy, you don't get upset with these leaders that are out there, you know, the president and all. Now, I do not pray for the leadership of the world or the leadership of this country. But I do not condemn them. If they want to do that job, I say more power to them. And I will say God is working through them at their level of consciousness. You see. But I don't condemn things like that. They have to work that out themselves. Now, many churches like to pray for world peace. They like to pray for this. They like to pray for so many things. I like to pray for myself. And I like to see if I can't bring peace to me. Because unless I can have peace in my mind and in my consciousness, it is not going to happen in the world for people. There is nothing going on in the world except the reflection of what the mass mind is thinking. And when we can, each and every one of us, change our mind, it becomes a collective consciousness. And we will eventually take over the rest of it. But at the present moment, there's all that stuff going on because people are thinking that way. So it's learning to think differently. How many people are thinking the same thoughts that their parents thought? My relatives were in town. My cousin and I grew up together in a small town in Duncannon, Pennsylvania, where everyone knew everybody from your grandparents and great-grandparents, and, you know, they knew everything about you and this. But a lady that was a friend of our family's, Matt Mutzabaugh was her name, left Duncannon and was away about 20, 25 years. She came back to Duncannon and took a tour down through the streets. It's only 2,000 people, by the way, in this little town. And my mother said to her, "Well, Matt, has Duncannon changed?" She said that what I have noticed is that now the children are occupying the same bar stools that their that their parents did. Because it doesn't change. You see, you have to change. Your thinking has to change. Things have to change. And it's around, this is around the world. We don't change. We think that is what life is because we imitate life. We are puppets to life. And know that you don't have to sit on the same bar stool as your parent. If your parent was an alcoholic, you do not have to be an alcoholic. You do not have to be an alcoholic. Oh, well, that runs in that family. His father was, and the father before him. So, oh, they're heavy drinkers, you know. They're Irish. They drink a lot. You have to stop that type of thinking. That's very low thinking. Very low thinking. So when you look at that one paper about vibrations and all, when you're thinking low, your vibration has to be low. And if your vibration's low, you're not going to attract into your life something grand. You're going to attract into your life mediocrity. Don't do that to yourself. Learn to think. It all starts in the mind, and it all starts with your thinking. But it starts with what you are thinking about yourself. What are you thinking about yourself? Do you know that you're whole and complete and perfect all the time? Do you know that sickness does not have to be in your life? The world wants to tell you that because it can sell you another pill. I am absolutely, you know, I grew up, I don't take pills. And when I grew up, there was one pill called an aspirin. Well, I don't know how many years ago somebody drugged me into a drugstore. There are row after row after row after row of different kinds of aspirin. PM and pain this and... It's amazing. And we fall for all of that. Don't do that. Look around and see what's going on. Learn to think for yourself. Learn to use this noggin. You see, we've been given a wonderful gift, this mind of ours. And what is the biggest gift in that mind, Andy?
Your imagination.
Your imagination. It's your imagination. And we fail to use our imaginations. Using your imagination will get you out of anything. It will get you out of anything. And that's a gift that we were given. That's the biggest tool we have in our toolbox is our imagination. And then we fail to use it. Because the world tells you only a few people can be creative. The rest of you people, you're just not creative. How many people here have said to themselves, oh, he's creative, but I'm not. You have to be creative, and you have to know that you're creative. You were born creative. Now find that creativity again inside of yourself. Find that, and use that. And have fun. You know, here's the other thing. Don't take all this stuff so seriously. You know, don't take it so seriously. Say, oh, I have a mind, I have an imagination, I think I'll try to use it. Don't go out there grunting and go, oh, my dear. No, you're here on this plane of action to enjoy it and to enjoy this life that you're having at the present moment. You're saying, at the present moment, you have to enjoy your life right where you are. You see, life's always going to be in front of you. Now you have to make a decision. What am I going to do about that? But since you know now that you do not see with your eyes, you see with your mind, it's going to be your attitude, your viewpoints, and your beliefs that are causing your life. So if you're not getting what you want in life, you cannot blame that on anybody but yourself. And then you sit down very gently, love yourself, know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and ask, how can I change my thinking so that I get what I want? how can I change my thinking so that I can get what I want? So you have to align yourself with that, you see. To get anything in your life, you must become it. To get anything in your life, you must become it. And we refuse to become something. We refuse to become nice people. That's not necessary. I'd rather be nasty. Well, you can be nasty if you want. I was nasty for 40 years. I thought it was fun. Yeah, I had a lot of fun being nasty. I was known as the man with the stainless steel tongue. I could go through you like a dose of salts. I could clear a room instantly. And I thought that was power. I thought that was fun. So I had a wonderful friend of mine. Betty Norris was her name. And she said to me, "Dallas, that's so easy. Why don't you try something different? It's so easy to hurt people. Why don't you learn to heal people? Give yourself a challenge. Don't take the easy way that so many people do. Because it's so easy to hurt people. It's so easy to hurt. But you don't grow. You do not grow. If I wouldn't have come into this teaching and I wouldn't have changed my consciousness, I wouldn't be on this plane of action at the present moment. I would have left it. Of my own hand, by the way. Of my own hand, I would have left it. So learn to heal, not hurt. Now that goes for you. Learn to heal yourself, not hurt yourself. How do you hurt yourself? By the horrible thoughts that you have about yourself and by allowing your mind to tell you you're dumb, stupid, you're not this, you're not that, whatever the mind, that mind chatter is doing to you. Tell it to shut up and go back to the nothingness from whence it came. And sit down one more time very gently and love yourself. That's what we call watching the movements of our mind. That's what we call becoming a witness to our thinking. A witness to our thinking. And you can do that. You can do that. The little tricks that the mind does, and when I say I'm using the mind here, I'm talking about the ego. Because I said, I grew up with my cousin in this small town. I also have a brother. So the three of us grew up together. My mother raised my cousin. I'm going to say that my brother Jack and my cousin Dennis are estranged at the present moment. They are at loggerheads with each other. Why? Because one is waiting for the other one to call. Well, he didn't call me. I'm not calling him. That is a horrible, horrible game to play, people. A horrible game to play. I told Dennis, I gave him instructions. When you get home, you call Jack. Whether he called you or not, you call and break that cycle. If you don't break these things, they will continue and they only get worse and they only fester and they don't hurt the other person. They hurt you. They hurt you. It's your mind. You have to take care of it. You see? That type of thing is a weed in your garden. And if you don't take care of it, it's going to choke all the beautiful flowers. It's going to choke all the beautiful flowers. What do we mean by the beautiful flowers? The wonderful thoughts that you could be having. The wonderful times you could be having. You see? Life is about forgiving. Forgiving yourself and forgiving all other people. And then having compassion for yourself and for other people. You have compassion. We all make mistakes. But we forgive ourselves for those mistakes and we learn from them. We just don't keep doing it. What did the master teacher Jesus say? Go and sin no more. Don't keep repeating the thing. Don't just keep doing it over and over. Many people repeat things. Why? Because they think that if they think about that again, it'll change. Now, I'm here to tell you that the same thought always produces the same result. It will not change. That is a mathematical equation, and the whole universe works that way. What you have within, you are going to have without. And it all starts inside of you. So we learn to change that. We talk about the kingdom in the Bible and in churches and all. They're always talking about the kingdom and gaining the kingdom. The kingdom is the kingdom of your mind. You are a king. How are you treating that kingdom of yours? And you have seen people have a kingdom, real people on the outside. Some are benevolent and some are just tyrants, aren't they? So what kind of a kingdom do you have going on in your thinking? What kind of a kingdom do you have going on in there? And look around. That's where your power is to know I am a king of my own kingdom, and I can make my kingdom wonderful. I can decree this, I can decree that, and it has to take place. It has to take place. That's a wonderful power that we have. We are not worms of the earth. We are not worms of the earth. We're magnificent gods and goddesses. And we must learn that for ourselves. The master teacher also said, and this stuff's in the Bible, if anyone cares to read the Bible. Somebody asked me once if I read the Bible. I said, no, but I saw the movie. Does that count? That woman never came back, but she had no sense of humor. Coming back, where was I?
Mr. Teacher, Jesus.
Yes, said, know that ye are gods. Know that ye are gods. But do we know that we're gods? Do you go into any institution and they say, oh, here comes God. Here comes God. No. Back to my cousin and his wife coming to visit. When they called, was I delighted? Why? Oh my God, I've got to clean this place up. Now I've got to go do this. I've got to go do that. And I'm having it. These are the movements of my mind. How did I settle it? And I had everything done by the time they got there. I reminded myself that God was coming to visit. That's all I had to do, is remind myself, oh my God, God's coming here. I better spruce up a little bit. Then I could get into it, and I had a wonderful time with them, and they had a wonderful time. But this is how you have to watch the movements of your mind. My mind said, well, they wouldn't do it for me. If I went to their house, they're not going to worry about it. Who cares? You see, you cannot let this mind do that. You see? I'm not going to give them anything. They never give me anything when I go to see them. Always. You have to watch your mind. You have to watch it, people. And we can all do that. It's easy. It's simple. It's easy. It's simple. Just remember, everything is God. God is coming to visit you. I tell people that when they want to go to meetings and so forth, and they want interviews and so forth. You have to know that it's always God meeting God. It's always God talking to God. You have to remember that. So when I say that this is a simple teaching, it's a very simple teaching. But why do we not remember it? That it's always going to be God talking to God. And it's always going to be, we're always going to be talking about mind, your mind, and the thoughts that you entertain in that mind. The thoughts that you entertain in your mind is what's going to outpicture in the world that you live in. But it's always going to be an inside job first. And it's always a do-it-yourself project. No one else can do it for you. You see, I cannot think for you any more than I can eat for you or breathe for you. You must learn to think for yourself. Now, here again, I will tell you this one more time. In religious science, we teach people how to think. not what to think. And if anyone starts to tell you what to think, go the other way. That's their opinion. It's nothing to do with anything. It's their opinion. You see. But when I say how to think marvelous thoughts about yourself. How to think all the time. Ha, ha, ha. I'm a wonderful human being. Even though I swear, I'm a wonderful human being. See? We can all do this. It makes life fun and it makes life so much better. I live the other life, people. I live the other life. If you want to say, use reborn or whatever, however you want to do it. You know, when I used to smoke and drink. I don't smoke and drink anymore. I don't even remember that person who did that. You know, I'd have to really think. I let the past go. There's nothing in the past, people. If you ever let your mind go to the past, what's it going to do back there? Can't do anything. How about the future? Can't do anything about that either. The only thing you can do anything with is what's in front of you right here and right now. And people who worry about the future and you think, oh my God, I'm going to end up a bad person living under the bridge. That's ridiculous to think those thoughts. It's not here. It's a fantasy.
Thank you.